Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STANS, and here is your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you, Marlon, and thanks, everybody, as always, for joining us. And as I've said before, we're going to always endeavor to have real quality guest speakers who you all can talk to and glean from and question and so forth. So today we've got Senator Ted Cruz joining us. He's been slightly delayed. He's in a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing at the moment, but I'm sure he will be joining us as soon as he can get away from that. In the meantime, we're going to pray, and by that time, maybe he'll be with us. Let us pray. Father, again, thank you so much for this great country. Thank you for the freest, most prosperous nation in the world, a nation that has raised the standard of living not only for our own people, but for people all over the world, more than any other nation has, because of our innovation and invention that's been exported throughout the world. And Lord, we are so grateful to be Americans and so grateful for this land of freedom and hope and opportunity. But Lord, we are in a crisis that of unimaginable proportions. And most people seem to agree that there's been nothing like it since the days just before the Civil War, where the country is divided. We have leaders and administration in office right now that seems to ask the question, what can we do to hurt America? And whatever the answer is what they do. So let's help fund Iran. Now we've got a war in Israel. Let's maintain our subordinate relationship with China so that they control our manufacturing. Let's let them buy our farmland. Let's let them fly over our bases. Let's let them buy land near to our most sensitive military facilities. Let's spend money and create inflation and make the American people pay at the gas pump, at the food market, Lord, it just seems as if they're charting out a course to hurt us, charting out a course to destroy us, really. We thank you so much for these leaders on this call who are committed to this country, committed to you, and committed to doing what is right for America. Thank you for our guest speaker today, Senator Ted Cruz, who shares that commitment and has really been a forceful voice for righteousness in the United States Senate and for constitutional governance. And so, Lord, we just commit this nation into your hands. We are in trouble, but you said you're an ever-present help in the time of trouble, and we do need your help. So, Lord, we pray for the people of Israel. We pray for the Jewish people who are under a vicious attack right now and are being attacked by even some in our own country who are saying it's their fault. You gave Israel that land. It belongs to them. Jerusalem is the undivided capital of Israel. There is no two-state solution for the Holy Land. There's only one state that can govern that land, and that is Israel. And the sooner we come to grips with that reality, the better off we're going to be and Israel is going to be. So, Lord, we just commit everything that's going on in our country into your loving care because we know that you care for us. We know that the same God who assembled the founding fathers and inspired them to go to make us an independent and free nation and laid the foundation for the greatest nation in the history of mankind and attributed their success not to their own skill and ability, but to providence, to God. Lord, we believe that the same God who gave them the idea, who gave them the fortitude and the strength is the God who will see us through these crises today and bring us out on the other side, a stronger, better, and I dare say more godly nation than the left would have us be, because they want us to go in the exact opposite direction. And Lord, we simply refuse to go along. So we commit ourselves and our beloved country into your loving care in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, Marlon, is the senator on with us yet?
No, he's not.
Okay. All right, folks. Well, while we're waiting for the senator to come, I want you all to know that My campaign is on hiatus. I am focused on Stand matters right now because I've come to realize that I can't allow Stand to suffer while I'm off on a campaign to win a nomination that is really in some ways already settled. So we're doing a lot of rethinking and regrouping in the meantime, but I'm focusing on Stand matters and really putting all of my energy and time and effort into that until and unless I get a different sense of direction from Almighty God. But thank you all for your support. Thank you for your prayers. I haven't quit. That's not in my DNA to do that, but we are looking at all the options that we have in front of us, including the possibility of running as an independent. So just keep us in prayer and keep Stand in prayer. And I want to thank all my Stand donors and supporters who really believe in the work that Stand does and have been just absolutely steadfast in that regard, even if they're somewhat skeptical about my decision to run for president, but have been nevertheless steadfast in their support of Stand, which they believe really can, in the long run, maybe help the country even more than any president ever could. So thank you all for that as well. Just want you all to be aware of that. And, look, we need to be praying for Israel because, as you all can see, our colleges and universities, many of our students, Black Lives Matter, some of these organizations that have captured the attention of the media are really a bunch of anti-Semitic fools. They hate Jews. They hate Israel. They bought into all the stereotypes and all of the garbage that's been spewed throughout the history of the Jewish people about Jews. And to think that that's taken root in our colleges and universities is really a sad, sad state of affairs. So we need to be praying for Israel, for the Jewish people, and also praying for our country, because I really believe that weakness always encourages conflict, and that's exactly what we've got. We've got a weak administration that conveys weakness to the world, and the world's taking advantage of it. See, I think under a strong president, Hamas wouldn't have dared. And I think if we unleash Israel and let Israel do what they need to do to protect and defend themselves, by now we probably would have a much weakened Iran. But we've protected, our administrations have protected Iran from Israel, when in fact we should have let Israel do whatever needed to be done to stop Iran's nuclear program and also to stop Iran from proliferating and exporting terrorism, not only against Israel, but around the world. So we've got some big issues that we are facing. Finally, I'd say, maybe not finally, because we're going to basically, I'll use this time to bring you all up to date on what's happening with Stand and other things that we're doing. But the circumstance that we are facing in the U.S. House right now, I have endorsed Jim Jordan for Speaker of the House. I dare say probably most of the people on this call probably agree that he would be a great speaker. And it is with tremendous consternation that I watch the potential of sharing power with Hakeem Jeffries. Are you kidding me? I mean, I would say this, folks, and I don't think it's an exaggeration. If the Republican Party can't get it together, having been given the votes needed to take over the House, if they can't get it together and elect a speaker, the Republican Party may be on its last legs. I mean, it may be on its last legs. More and more people are registering independent these days, and it may be that conservatives say, you know what, I don't know what the Republican Party is doing, but I know I'm not going to be any part of that. I'm going to vote for the person I believe in. Most of the time, that's probably going to be Republicans, but I'm not supporting the party. And look, folks, there's a lot of weight on that side of the argument, too. I mean, you're giving Ronna McDaniel, and frankly, another mistake that President Trump made. He didn't make a whole lot of them, but he did make a couple. Anthony Fauci was one and Ronald McDaniel's another. I mean, because Ronald McDaniel's nothing but a neo-threader and a swamp monster. I mean, she is not a conservative. She's not pursuing a conservative agenda. She is busy trying to feather her own nest and take care of herself, not take care of the Republican Party or the people of this country. She needs to go, period. She needs to go. She needs to resign. And all the people who are supporting her needle-threading pseudo-conservative leadership need to go with her. And the thing is, they're not going to go anywhere. In fact, they're in control. They're running things. And that's one of the things that's going to have to change if the Republican Party is going to have any kind of future. They're going to have to stop being Democrat light and start taking a stand for what the platform says and what their most important base constituents. Look, without evangelicals, pro-Second Amendment, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, and pro-Constitution conservatives, the Republican Party has no base. That's it. These elitists may not agree with the bases I've just laid out, the constituency I've just laid out may not agree with us on most issues, or certainly doesn't agree with us on some important ones. But look, either they serve the constituent base of the Republican Party, or they become a dinosaur and they go out of existence, maybe open the way for another party to emerge or something. I don't know. But I know one thing. They can't continue to proceed on the same track that they've been proceeding because it is a dead end. And the people are simply not going to support it. They're simply not. Folks, we are at a real crossroads in our country because we need a political party that is going to stand up and fight for America no matter what, and is not going to buy into all of this Marxist, socialist, secularist, atheist, sexual confusion nonsense that the Democrat Party is trying to sell the country. And if the Republican Party is going to start buying into any of that in any way, then it's really useless. It's of no account whatsoever. I mean, it's irrelevant. We need spokespeople who are going to stand up for the things that we know are important, the things that we know have to happen in our country in order to survive. And I do mean that, in order to survive. We can't survive like this. America can't survive like we're doing, selling out the country to China. I mean, I'm reading this book by Alex Marlow, Smithfield Foods, 60-some farms, $7.6 billion, and the Agriculture Department never even lifted a finger to weigh in on it or to say whether we wanted China in control of our farmland. Just basically just absent without leave, AWOL. I mean, what kind of government is that? I mean, instead they're running around trying to persecute parents who are standing up for their children's right to a decent education as opposed to indoctrination. So instead of the government focusing on things like the threat that China poses to our country, they're busy labeling parents domestic terrorists because they don't happen to agree with the latest LGBTQ fad for recruiting children into their sick lifestyle. I mean, what kind of government is that? I tell you what, it's certainly not governing with the consent of the governed, that's for sure, which is a principle that the Founding Fathers laid out in the Declaration of Independence, that's what makes government legitimate, that it functions with the consent of the governed, that these Biden people feathering their own nest, selling the country out, they're certainly not operating with our consent. They're operating on their own selfish, self-aggrandizing, egotistical, money-grubbing needs and wants, not what's good for the American people. So we've got a problem, and we need divine intervention. You know, that's what motivated me to jump into the race, to say America needs God. Period. America needs God. And people can say whatever they want to say, but the rest is shifting the chairs on the deck of the Titanic without that. And we better come back to that. And we Christians and Orthodox Jews as well better come back to God's standards for a society and a culture as opposed to this garbage that the left is trying to sell us. And I say the Orthodox Jews intentionally because, you know, they made the media has been reporting that their Jewish people were siding with Hamas. I mean, what is that? That just goes to show how confused people can become. And they'd be the first that Hamas would cut their heads off. And they're siding with them, just like the left siding with Islam. And they all know that, I mean, Islam has no interest whatsoever in helping promote the left's agenda, just in promoting their own power. They side with these Islamists, and again, once again, they'd be the first ones these Islamists would throw off the roof. It's just, as the scripture calls it, people opposing themselves and don't know any better. Well, look, I assume that the senator is going to join us. He was trying to finish up a Judiciary Committee hearing, but since we have not heard from him, Marlon, let's do this. Let's open up the lines for questions, for comments, and when he comes in, we'll simply interrupt that, give him a chance to say a few words and maybe answer some questions or comments of his own. Folks, this comes with the territory of getting these senators and congressmen on, because you just never know between the hearings and the votes what's going to happen. But I'm sure the senator will be with us as soon as he can. We've still got about 30 minutes before the call is over. So sometime in that time, I'm going to believe God that he will appear. In the meantime, star 6 is how you press. Of course, to ask any question or make any comment, star 6. And as soon as you have any, we will be happy to take them. I think I've shared as much with you as I need to at the moment. And I'll give you an opportunity to be heard if there's anything that you want to say about, particularly about the state of our country, the war in Israel, or anything else that comes to mind. If any of you have read this, or I'm, like I said, about halfway through the book on Breaking Biden, and folks, I'll tell you, the book it'll make you weep. It really will. It will make you weep because these people are selling us out. They could care less about us. They could care less about what happens to America. They are interested in one thing, making sure that they get rich. That's it. That is it. And if we have to die for them to do it, who cares? I mean, just like we don't want to try to hold China accountable for what amounts to a biological attack on our country and on the world. We don't. No. Because, you know, we need them too much. You know, maybe next time they'll kill us all, and you know, then they can, you know, you can, I guess, use the, what is it called? I think it's called the yuan. Which is the Chinese currency, rather than the dollar. I mean, I'm just disgusted with this administration. And Lord knows, come November of 2024, it may not be me, but whoever it is, we got to have somebody in there who loves this country, has a servant's heart, wants to do what is right by the American people, and has the fortitude to come against all these forces, these anti-American forces that are destroying our country from within, and stand up to bullies like Communist China and the Chinese Communist Party, and let them know in no uncertain terms, no, you will not dominate us, you will not control us, and yes, we are going to decouple. Biden said we're not decoupling. We need to decouple from China. We need to create our own independent manufacturing base. We need to hold them accountable for all their activities in the South China Sea. We need to make clear that we are simply not going to allow them to take over places like Taiwan. We're simply not going to permit it. That if they do it, that we're going to try to crush them. And I don't mean militarily necessarily, but I mean, we still are the economic behemoth in the world. We need to start acting like it again and stop allowing China to push us around. I mean, they're committing slave labor. They've got slave labor in Africa, making the mining for the rare earth minerals to build these batteries. And we're busy promoting this garbage and basically just turning more and more wealth over to China and more control over to China. And they're killing the very people that left to say they care so much about, which is black folks. They're killing them in all kinds of mining accidents and problems, while they just use them like slaves, including children, to get the cobalt, the lithium, the rare earth minerals they need for these batteries. And you got an administration just basically just eating it up and saying, oh, yeah, this is a great thing. Great for whom? Certainly not great for those Africans that they're using. Certainly not great for the American people, who are giving up more and more of our sovereignty to communist China. It's not going to be good for the American automobile industry, because basically they're going to end up working for China, because they're going to depend upon China for these batteries. I mean, this stuff is insane, folks. It's insane. So I just pray that we have a leader who understands where we are, loves this country. Look, I'm not interested in going to war with anybody. I'm really not. But I really believe what George Washington said, that the best way to avoid war is to be prepared for it. The best way to assure peace is to let the whole world know we will fight for our liberty. And when they understand that, people are not so quick to want to engage in open hostility. But you convey weakness. You know what they say? Well, these Americans, you can take them. You just take them. Just do whatever you want to them. They're not going to do anything. They're weak. And before you know it, you're pushed into a corner where you don't have any choice. Yes.
Senator will be calling in shortly.
All right. Good. Do we have any questions or comments? If so,
yes.
I tell you what, folks, hold them. Because I hope shortly means within the next minute or two, so that we don't hold you all. But yeah, folks, we've got to have. I think Senator Ted Cruz is one of those leaders who will stand up for our country. He's not running for president, obviously, but he's one of them, and there are some others as well. I think they're few and far between, to be very honest. I think they're few and far between, and Joe Biden certainly ain't one of them. In fact, just the opposite. I said before, I think this man is a traitor to our country. And he may not have committed treason, legal treason, but as far as I'm concerned, he has betrayed his own country, sold us out to the highest bidders. It's just a shame. It's a travesty on our country that we have to follow leadership like that. And it's hard. It lends itself to the notion that maybe they really ultimately did steal the election, because how could the American people ever vote in somebody? Of course, he lied, because, you know, I'm going to be the uniter and I'm going to be mature and I'm going to, basically all he is a political hack and a sycophant for who knows who, George Soros, Barack Obama, who knows who's pulling his strings. But that's all he is. As long as he makes some money, I don't think he cares who pulls the strings. He's happy to have somebody else pulling them, as long as he and Hunter can laugh all the way to the bank. And that's about what they've been doing. In fact, I think that's the nature of Joe Biden's political career. Greed, graft, lying, deception. That's the mark of the man's character and the mark of his political career, and it's a shame. And I don't hate him, but I do hate what he's doing to our country. I hate what he's doing to our country, because he's basically destroying it, frankly, right before our very eyes. Destroying it. All the racial division that he preaches and stokes. I mean, it's just nowhere you can look and say, well, yeah, this man is making a positive contribution here or there. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. Everything he touches turns to garbage. So that's where we are. You know what? It's 12:25. We've got 20 minutes left. The senator should be joining us here any moment. I assume he's not on yet.
No, sir.
So, Marlon, do we have any questions?
Yes, there were a couple people who signed it. Yeah.
You know what? Let's go ahead and take one because, you know, and just be prepared, folks, for me to cut you off, and forgive me, I'll try not to do so rudely or abruptly, so we can try to get the senator in here, because I know many of you are here today because you were hoping to hear him and talk to him. So let's go to Jody. Jody?
Hi, Bishop. Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Jody.
Hi, Bishop. It's nice to hear your voice. We've missed you.
Well, I've missed being on, believe me.
Yeah, we hope you spend more time with us.
Okay.
I just had a comment, a couple actually. I'll make them fast. Islam is married to Marxists. They hate each other but hate us more. They are really behind the left agenda. Muhammad, who was their prophet, was into little boys. They hit a six-year-old bride. They consummate the marriage when the little girl or boy's nine. And so they all follow Muhammad. So they'll throw a homosexual off the roof to kill him, but they're all doing kids. So they're very much into child trafficking. They're very much into distorting all of that. So
And slavery, Jody, and slavery.
Yes, absolutely. So there are, 67 million slaves now. So the other thing is, you know, with Biden, I don't believe him sending ships. I don't buy it. When he left it all in Afghanistan, why would he send ships? So he's doing that. I almost feel like Israel's a total distraction from all of the hell they're raising here. You know, Satan offered Jesus all the nations and said you could have all of this. And I believe that's what he's done with everyone in the left. And either they're threatened where, you know, Islam will, you know, slit your throat in a heartbeat. We know ISIS. We know all of that. And they're brought up that way to hate. And it's not really their fault. I know several that are changing, taking Muslims to Christianity. That is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. But we know that they're taught that as children, just like what we're taught as children. But I think that the left, so many, you know, you wonder why, okay, Biden got in, stole the election. Why haven't everyone raised, you know, the whole country gone crazy when they have a slobbering, drooling, falling down president? You'd think everyone would say, look, we got to do something about this, but they don't. So it's the media owned by nine corporations. They hear the same phrases on every channel until that is in their head. So repetition is how we learn. So they're brainwashing the masses. That's why they're not fighting back. You know, so it's
all right.
Either they're threatened or they're compromised.
Well, Jody, your analysis is absolutely on point. Thank you so much for the call. And yes, I will endeavor to be with you a lot more often than I have been over the last several weeks. And look, what you said about Islam, I know there are a lot of people who take umbrage about that, but you are absolutely right. Look, folks, Islam was born of a man who was a bloodthirsty pedophile. That's Muhammad. And you all know when I say that, I say that understanding that that's the kind of talk that'll get you killed. Or make them want to try to kill you, but I don't care because it's the truth. And so I don't – look, there are nice Muslims. I have Muslims in my family. There are people who don't subscribe to or practice a lot of what Islam teaches, but you can't deny that it breeds lawlessness, murder, sexual perversion, you name it, slavery. I mean, people want to blame America for slavery, but Islam taught slavery to Europe, not the other way around. Islam taught the use of Africans as slaves to Europeans, not the other way around. The Ottoman Empire was using sub-Saharan Africans as slaves and bringing them into Spain when they controlled the Iberian Peninsula before the Atlantic slave trade ever started. But you don't hear that, do you? That's endemic, intrinsic to the culture of Islam. You know, and that's notwithstanding that there undoubtedly will meet some nice people who are Muslims, and you can get along with them, and you know, they're great, but Islam itself is wrong. It's off, no matter how nice any individual Muslim may be. And again, we don't hate Muslims, but we certainly hate any kind of ideology or religious system that would lead people into the kind of activity that we see, not just 10 or 20 or 100 or 1,000, but hundreds of thousands and millions engaged in. Remember, folks, I think it's 2 billion people on Earth are Muslims right now. If it's only 10%, that's 20 million people. 20 million. If it's only 10% who are imbued with this sort of militant, let's kill all the infidels, let's kill all the Jews. And I dare say, I think it's a lot more than 10%. Okay, Marlon, nothing from the senator yet, huh? Senator,
no, sir.
Cruz, are you on? Okay, but his staff said that he was coming.
Yes.
Okay, so he would be calling in a few minutes. Well, maybe he will be able to call in and wrap this up. So, folks, if you have any questions or comments then, because the real question is, press star 6, and we'll take them, because I'm going to assume Senator Cruz will ultimately get here. But in the meantime, let's not waste the moment we have. Because, look, the real question is, what do we do about it? What do we do about this situation that we are in? If you can't trust the elections, which many Americans don't, you can't trust the criminal justice system, which many Americans don't, I mean, what in the world? And you've got the Democrat Party playing the long game of bringing literally millions of people into this country on the presumption that because they facilitated their illegal entry into the country and protect their illegal staying in the country, that they will ultimately become citizens and vote for them. And even before they vote for them, they will help swell the ranks of the populations in some blue states and give them more congressional representation, if nothing else, until they become citizens. Look,
Bishop?
The left, yes.
Jose from California is on the line.
Okay, Jose, let's give you an opportunity to say what you want to say. You're filling in for Senator Cruz. Go ahead, Jose.
we lost him. Claire Lopez is now on.
Okay, Claire, you're filling in for Senator Cruz. Go ahead.
Oh dear. Well, the question actually was for the senator. And I was hoping to connect with him, but we can talk about it as well. My question is about the calls that we hear from many sides these days that the United States should take in whatever thousands, a million, dozens who are trying to flee the Gaza Strip. What would be the senator's position on that? What do we think about that?
Well, Claire, I think you probably know what I think about it. I think it's just more suicidal insanity. But what's your take on it as a foreign policy expert?
Well, I think it's insane. The people of Gaza are the ones who actually voted for Hamas. If we remember back in 2006, there were elections between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. Hamas won those elections and then shot, killed, threw off the roof Palestinian Authority reps that were then in Gaza and kicked them, the remaining ones, out. And Hamas has been attempting to infiltrate and establish cells in Judea and Samaria ever since, with some success, in fact. So I would be very much opposed to taking in any of these people who would not be able to be vetted in any thorough way whatsoever. But the other thing is, I would like to see Egypt open the Rafah crossing, that is the crossing point between Egypt and the Gaza Strip, to allow in one direction, to allow humanitarian aid to come into Gaza. Well, and American citizens and maybe nationals of other countries to depart, to leave. But that's it. No Gazans out. And I'm sure the Egyptians, the Jordanians and the rest of them, they're not stupid. There's a reason they're not wanting to take these people in.
Well, Claire, why do you think there's even, and because I've heard now Bowman of New York and maybe Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who made it a point to say, no, we're not against Israel and we don't want to protest against Israel. That's because they've got Jewish people who vote for them and Jewish people who support them and New York, and they're afraid of crossing that line. But I don't think their heart's for Israel. But why do you think they want to bring in refugees from a country, as you just said, that is ripe with all kinds of anti-Jewish and anti-American militancy?
Well, I think that many people, not those you've just mentioned, but many people are good-hearted and, Christians and Jews alike, and feel sorry for the situation that the people in Gaza find themselves in. Okay, fine, for the ordinary people. But our leadership in Congress, House or Senate, whichever, they should know better. Just as you say, Bishop, I think that some of the flip-flopping you're seeing now is because these reps have a Jewish constituency in their district and need to amend maybe some of their earlier statements. But the reason they would initially say, let them in, is the same reason they want open borders. They want to dilute the American population in their favor as they see it.
And Claire, sadly, once again, proving that they have only one interest, and it's not in the American people, it's not even in our country, it's in their own power. And whatever they think they need to do to get it, that's what drives them. So, all right, Claire, thank you so much. Folks, press *6 to ask a question. We're down to about 7 minutes left, and we're still waiting for Senator Cruz. So, Marlon, reach out to anybody you can and find out, are we going to get him on? Is he going to make it? He's been late before, but this is a little bit unusual. Maybe the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing got hot and some important things were going on that he just couldn't break away from, even though they thought he could. Yes.
I was told that the committee meeting was over, but it might have taken him some time to get out and get ready. But
and get
I haven't
back.
Seen
yeah.
any indication that he's going to be on at all. I do have Jose back on again
let's give Jose the floor. Go ahead, Jose.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. First of all, Bishop E.W. Jackson, I support you for president. Pray for you almost daily.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
We're rooting for you. My quick comment and question is this. I remember in 2008, the NewsHour with Mark Shields and David Brooks, the two of them agreed that what we have is a corrupt duopoly. So there is an appearance of choice, and this is a communist tactic, just like my mom gave me a choice between asparagus and Brussels sprouts, but that's no choice. I want asparagus and Twinkie, right? That's the choice I want, clear, distinct choice. And while we might have excellent, excellent congressmen and women like Ted Cruz, like Matt Gaetz, et cetera, they're such a small minority. It's impossible. Just it satiates the right. My question is this. Because we've got this corrupt duopoly, how do you ever break it? Was the Tea Party the best option so far? And, you know, inevitably it seems like these things get hijacked or sidelined. So how do we ever take the country back with, like, a non what do you call it? You know, somebody who's not part of the system, like Ron Perot or Donald Trump. So that's why I voted for you, my friend.
Well, Jose, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well, look, folks, I've been wondering myself here lately. Is it time to consider another party? Because I wonder. Yes.
Bishop, Senator is on.
All right. Here he is at just the right moment. All right. Senator Ted Cruz, you've got the floor, sir.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Bishop, thank you so much. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your friendship. And thank you to everyone for being on this call. Thank you for fighting for our nation. Thank you for standing up for our faith, standing up for our values, and standing up for America. Because I think we're at a time of crisis. I think everyone, one of us knows that the assault on our nation and our founding principles and our values, it is more extreme, it's more radical than it's ever been at any time in our lifetime. And I will say what we're seeing in Washington, D.C., what we're seeing with the extreme agenda being pushed by this administration, it is more radical than anything that has happened in our lifetimes. And it is frightening, but it is also a call to action to all of us to stand up and defend our nation. And so I'm grateful for the men and women on this call who are doing exactly that. What I want to talk about for just a few minutes, and then I'm mostly going to open it up to Q&A and talk about any topic you want, but I did want to take a few minutes to talk about what's happening in Israel, because all of us are horrified at what the last 2 weeks have unfolded in Israel. We are seeing, as everyone knows, the worst attack on Israel in over 50 years. We saw on the first day of the attack, the single day, the largest mass murder of Jews since the Holocaust. At this point, we have over 1,300 Israelis who have been murdered. We have hundreds of Israelis who have been taken hostage. We have terrorists who have targeted civilians very deliberately. They've targeted the elderly and murdered them. They've targeted women and children. They have brutally and violently raped women and little girls. They have decapitated infants. It is horrific. It is evil. It is unmitigated evil. I know everyone on this call is lifting up Israel in your prayers, lifting up the people of Israel in your prayers right now, and those prayers are needed. And I encourage you to double down on praying for safety and protection for the people of Israel. It is worth noting that what happened did not happen in a vacuum, but rather it happened in significant part because of very serious policy mistakes made by the United States government. And in particular, Hamas is a proxy for Iran. Hamas is controlled by Iran. These terror attacks were planned, they were funded, and they were directed by Iran. And in the last 2.5 years, the Biden administration has flowed over $50 billion into Iran. In a very real and a very practical sense, the Biden administration funded this terror attack on Israel. Now, the $50 billion is a much larger number than you will hear if you listen to the corporate media. The corporate media has focused on the $6 billion. $6 billion was the amount just recently that the Biden administration agreed to give Iran in exchange for releasing 5 American hostages. Now, at the time, I and many others said that was a terrible idea, that they were effectively setting a bounty on the head of Americans and telling terrorists, telling enemies of America that the federal government will pay $1.2 billion per American. And the predictable consequence when you negotiate with terrorists, when you pay a ransom, is that more people, more Americans will be taken hostage. I said that publicly. Many others did as well. I'm very sorry to say I did not anticipate that prediction would come through just weeks later, but we now have over a dozen Americans who are missing. Many of them are presumed to be hostages as well, in addition to the some 200 Israelis who are hostages. And that's what happens when you incentivize the taking of hostages, is bad guys, and in particular Iran and Hamas, their proxy, has now taken more Americans hostage. But the $6 billion was just the tip of the iceberg, because 3 weeks before the $6 billion, the Biden administration agreed to send $10 billion from Iraq to Iran, so that ups the total to $16 billion. And both of those are just a small portion of what's come to Iran, because by far the biggest policy step that has funded the Ayatollah and his theocratic, genocidal, homicidal terror campaign has been the Biden administration's decision not to enforce oil sanctions. When Joe Biden became president, he inherited, number one, peace and prosperity across the globe, but number two, Iran was on its knees. Its economy was in shambles, and in particular, that is because the United States government has imposed crippling oil sanctions that stopped them from selling oil. When President Trump was president, I spent years urging President Trump to vigorously enforce those oil sanctions. He did so, and it had the effect of devastating the Iranian economy and dramatically weakening the Ayatollah's ability to wage terror. Well, Joe Biden came into office and immediately began ceasing enforcement of those oil sanctions. As a result, right now today, Iran is selling over 2 million barrels a day of oil, primarily to China, and that money is funding the regime. They have made over $40 billion as a result of the Biden administration's unilateral gift. As we are praying for the people of Israel, we also need Congress to act, and that means cutting off all of the funding. It means cutting off the $6 billion, but it means cutting off the $10 billion, but it means, most importantly, cutting off the $40 billion in oil revenues, and so that's something I'm fighting vigorously in the Senate to do. I will point out that it was not just funding of Iran, but the Biden administration also came in and wanted to send hundreds of millions of dollars to Gaza directly, to the Gaza Strip. I led a coalition of 19 senators opposing that and urging the administration not to send that money, because if they sent that money, it would go to Hamas, and Hamas would use it to carry out terror activities. At the same time, 145 House Democrats sent a letter to the Biden administration saying, send that money, even though it will go to Hamas for terror activities. And we now know from public documentation that the Biden administration analyzed both letters, and here's what they did with it. They concluded there was, quote, a high risk that the money would go to Hamas and Hamas would use it to wage acts of terror against Israel and America. And rather than do the rational thing and say, well, let's not send the money then, because existing U.S. law prohibits sending money that is likely to be used for terrorism, instead they waived U.S. anti-terrorism law and sent the money anyway. So as a very real and practical matter, these terror attacks, these death squads, these rockets that are raining into Israel were paid for by the Biden administration, and we need strong and resolute support to cut off that money, cut off the money to Iran, and cut off the money to Gaza and Hamas. And let me say, secondly, that it is also worth recognizing where this dispute will go going forward. Israel has rightly responded that they are going to eliminate Hamas. They are going to utterly destroy Hamas. That is the right decision, I believe, to do, given the magnitude of this attack. This has been called Israel's 9/11, and it is that order of magnitude for the people of Israel, and they are responding by waging war on Hamas. The predictable consequence of that, tragically, is there are going to be significant Palestinian civilian casualties. We know that because Hamas wants significant Palestinian civilian casualties. Hamas deliberately uses human shields. Palestinian civilians, mothers and children, they put right next to their military targets. They put on top of their military targets. They store their missiles in kindergartens. They put their military headquarters in the basement of a hospital, and they do it. And in fact, the Israelis go to extraordinary lengths, greater lengths than any military on the face of the planet, to avoid civilian casualties, including warning civilians, get out when they're targeting a military target. But Hamas is telling them stay there, and in many instances preventing them from leaving, because it is part of Hamas's military strategy that when the civilians they've used as human shields are killed in an attack on a military target, that the global media will act as useful idiots and put those images on global television in an effort to demonize and undermine Israel. And it's incumbent on all of us to speak up with the truth that the death of Palestinian civilians is tragic, but the reason they are dying is because Hamas wants them to die and is using them as human shields. That is a war crime. In 2014, I authored a resolution in the Senate, a bipartisan resolution with Kirsten Gillibrand, Democrat from New York. We passed it into law, condemning Hamas's use of human shields as a war crime. In 2019, I passed legislation sanctioning Hamas for using human shields, again bipartisan. But we need to explain, when we see civilians killed, that Israel is doing everything they can to avoid that, and it is Hamas that is responsible for those deaths. And so that is a fight I am leading in the Senate, and I'm grateful for everyone here for your prayers, for your leadership, and for your powerful voices that are needed now more than ever.
Well, we really appreciate you, Senator Cruz. One question was asked just before you came on, is this push for bringing Palestinian refugees into the United States of America, any likelihood that that would happen, and what are the potential consequences if it were to?
Yeah, I think it's a terrible idea to bring refugees from Gaza into America. I do not think we shall do so. I'm leading the fight to stop it. I think there is a very high risk that we would be importing terrorism into this country. I don't think we have, this administration has no ability to vet refugees coming in. And I believe that refugees that are fleeing Gaza should go to neighboring Arab nations. There are Arab nations surrounding Israel that can take in these refugees, and I don't think they need to come to America. You know, Bishop, you asked what is the risk of it? Well, the Biden administration consistently has shown a willingness to allow terrorists to come into this country. We're all familiar with the chaos at our southern border. We've had 7.6 million people come into this country illegally, including record numbers on the terror watch list. And that, I believe, has resulted in today we have the highest risk for a major terrorist attack of any time since September 11th. And the combination of the war in Israel and our open border on the southern border puts American citizens at enormous risk. And I think bringing in refugees from Gaza would only magnify that risk. So I can't promise that Biden won't do it, because these people are just crazy enough to think that's a good idea, but I can promise you I'm going to fight against it with everything I got.
There's also this rising anti-Semitism, and we're seeing it erupt on college campuses. I mean, are you surprised by that, A, and B, what can we do to stop these schools from becoming seedbeds of this Marxism and anti-Semitism and, you know, all of these anti-American sentiments and ideas that they've just erupted with?
Well, unfortunately, many of our universities have been captured by the radical left. And you know, you rightly use the word Marxism. This is Marxism. And the radical left is viciously anti-Semitic. They hate Israel. And their anti-Semitism is on abundant display. We're seeing this with the Squad, the radical left wing in the House, who are spewing anti-Semitic and anti-Israel attacks daily as they're standing in solidarity with the terrorists who are butchering children, who are raping women and little girls, and they're standing in solidarity with those attacks. And we're seeing it in college campuses. You're exactly right that so many of our campuses. You know, I will say, you look at Harvard, and I'm embarrassed to say I'm a Harvard graduate. You had 35 student groups at Harvard put out a statement that is utterly disgraceful, where they say all of the violence in Israel is 100% Israel's fault. Apparently it's Israel's fault that Hamas is targeting civilians and murdering women and children and beheading infants. It is horrific. It is disgraceful. And we need to speak out and condemn it. I led a letter along with Representative Stefanik, also a Harvard graduate, calling out Harvard for being an incubator for this rabid anti-Semitism. We're seeing it at schools across the country. We've got to call it out. We've got to shine a light on it. And that's something I'm trying to do. Bishop, as you know, I do every week a podcast. It's called Verdict with Ted Cruz. It is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We have roughly a million listeners that listen every month. We beat CNN every week. And on that podcast, I'm calling out, I'm giving examples. The latest podcast, the title is CNN is Hamas's Air Force. So is MSNBC, so is ABC, here's the evidence. And we walk through instance after instance after instance of the mainstream media deliberately parroting the propaganda of Hamas. We need to call them out. We need to call out these universities. We need to shine a light, because truth is power, and it's powerful right now when people are horrified at what's unfolding in Israel.
Well, look, I know you've got to get back to your business. There's a big thing happening on the floor of the House right now. Are Republicans in the House going to be able to pull it together and elect a speaker? Is that speaker likely to be Jim Jordan?
So I hope so. And we will get a speaker. I mean, it's going to get resolved. I hope it's resolved today. I don't know if it'll get resolved today or not. We'll get a speaker, and I think we'll get a speaker this week, hopefully today. You know, historically, I've served in the Senate 11 years. I have always stayed out of House leadership fights. My view is I've got enough fights in the Senate. I don't need to get in the middle of them in the House. This year, EW, I'll tell you, I made an exception, and I have publicly endorsed Jim Jordan for speaker. I did so early in this process. And the reason is Jim is a close friend. I've worked very closely with Jim. My philosophy and endorsements generally is to support the strongest conservative who can win. And both of those are important, that you have a proven record as a conservative and that you actually have a path to victory. I think Jim has a real path to victory. I think there's a good chance he will be elected speaker today. But I think he has proven to be a consistent conservative fighter. So I hope Jim Jordan becomes the next speaker, but you and I will both watch with great interest. And then, look, I think it is critical, whether the next speaker is Jim Jordan or somebody else, and I hope it's Jim, that we actually have a House majority that leads, that fights on conservative principles, that stands up and delivers and does what we promised the voters we would do. I think that's our obligation, but I also think that's the path to political victory. The way you win elections is by demonstrating to voters that you will do what you promised them to do. That's the biggest thing, EW, that I encourage newly elected members of Congress. I say, look, whatever you told the voters, do that. Whatever you said in September and October on the campaign trail, do that in January and February. And if we do that, we're honoring the commitment we made. And I hope the next speaker does exactly that.
Well, look, you and I are both graduates of Harvard Law School, but thank God we didn't drink the Kool-Aid.
Amen.
And we have much to apologize for.
And I
got to
say, EW, what's wrong with us? How did we not learn what they wanted us to learn? Are we just thick-headed? I think maybe we are.
Look, in a good way. Well, look.
Amen.
Before you go, tell people again how they can tune into your podcast and what they can do to support you.
Well, the podcast, it's called Verdict with Ted Cruz. You can get it anywhere you get podcasts. And as I said, we've got we have about a million people a month who are listening to it. So it is regularly a vehicle to highlight what's going on more broadly on the political front. So I'm not actually allowed to tell you that because I'm in the Capitol right now. So I cannot raise money, but that's not difficult to figure out how to do so if someone's interested in doing that as well. What I can do is ask for your prayers, ask for your leadership, ask for your voice, ask for you to stand up and speak the truth. And I know you're doing it anyway, and so I can just say thank you for those prayers and that voice and that leadership, because We are here for such a time as this, and it is needed now more than ever.
You know, you and I flew back together from South Carolina when you were running for president with your father in the plane, and the plane was quite packed with luggage, and he needed to use the bathroom. And I watched you go back and start moving stuff out of the way to make it convenient for your dad to get to the bathroom. And that told me more about you even than some of the policies that you stood up so courageously for. It told me that you're a man of humility and decency and love for your father and appreciation for him. And I tell you what, it made a mark on me that I will never forget. So thank you for your service in the Senate. Keep it up. We're here praying for you and helping you. I'll tell them when you are gone other ways in which they can support you.
Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate your leadership. And I will say for all the pastors on the call, I will express solidarity and sympathy for your kids. I'm a PK, and we PKs have to stick together. And it's a beautiful thing. Sometimes it's a burden, but it is also a blessing. And I appreciate everything each of you do.
All right. Listen, God bless you.
God bless.
Keep up the good work.
All right.
Bye bye. Well, folks, he was late, but we got him on, and I'm glad we did. And sorry we didn't get to do any questions. I wasn't sure how much time he had, but yeah, that was a moment I'll never forget, watching him sort of, because his father had to use the bathroom on this plane, a small plane. The luggage had blocked off the door, and he just immediately stood up and started, you know, figuring out how to get all this stuff and got it all cleared out of the way so that his father could use the bathroom. And I thought, you know, now that said something. He didn't ask him to do that. He just kind of did that on his own. And when I see a young man honoring his father that way, it really impressed me. Of course, I was supporting him, and he was running for president at that time. So folks, look, none of these political figures are perfect. Ted Cruz is not. I'm not. You won't find one that is. The only person who walked the earth who was perfect was Jesus Christ. But thank God we've got people like him and Jim Jordan and others who are almost always on the mark and really standing up. I really believe these are people who are standing up for the American people, for our country, our Constitution, rather than for themselves. And that's what we need more of. So, look, God bless each and every one of you. We've gone way over this time to accommodate the senator who came in late, but I'm glad we got him anyway. So, look, you all just stay in the fight, okay? Like I said, there's no quit in my DNA. God didn't wire me that way. The Marine Corps didn't wire me that way. My father didn't wire me that way. I'm going to do whatever I can and need to do in order to help save this country, because that's what this is ultimately all about. So I know you all are with me in that. Stand up. Step up, speak up, and look, just absolutely refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.